The Planet Rock Podcast with Sky Talk. Find a Sky Talk pack to suit you with inclusive calls to UK mobiles. Search Sky Talk.
Hello and welcome to the very first Planet Rock Podcast with Sky Talk. Coming up, we got all the best bits of chat, interviews and rock and roll gossip from the past week's shows on Planet Rock. There are so many good stories every week from our presenters and guests, we thought it only fair to cut them out and put them all in one place just for you. Aren't we nice?
Follow the flaming recipe!
Okay, calm down. So coming up, you'll be hearing cooking tips from the hairy bikers, who hopefully won't be too angry.
No, where does it say in the recipe, cook it for 25 minutes? It doesn't. Does it?
Doesn't.
No.
Brown it.
You'll also hear,
if you ever sold a record, you sold out.
Yep, that's rock god Alice Cooper, who's got lots of advice for whining musicians. You should be an artist.
But understand that you are a product. I'm tired of reprimanding you people.
And we'll hear about legendary music producer Bob Rock.
There he was with the boys out of Aerosmith.
In Brian Johnson's weekly show, The Producers.
And that's what he was doing, getting them relaxed. They hadn't been together for a while.
And we'll hear from another legendary producer, Kevin Caveman Shirley.
And Jimmy came in and he said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Oh, I just thought I'd give this mix a little tweak. I thought I could get it a little bit better." And he was like, "No, it sounds fine. Move along."
Def Leppard's Joe Elliott will be telling us about the time he stayed at the
Trump Tower. So you can imagine what was going on inside and outside of that incredible building.
And finally, we've got the shortest show on the radio with Wyatt and Darren.
So is there anything else you'd like to put your initials on?
No, I've got my initials on just about everything I own.
Okay.
I've got some tattoos as well.
That's it, right. Don't bend over.
No, please, don't bend over. So, let's get started. Kicking off this inaugural Planet Rock podcast with everyone's favourite hairy men on two wheels.
The Hairy Bikers.
And the Hairy Rock Show.
Planet Rock.
Planet Rock.
Time for an email. And the subject is our rump steak burgers. And we've got a double barreler here.
Have we, David?
It's from Evelyn Linton Price.
Hello, Evelyn. Hello, Linton. Hello, Price.
No, it's all one.
Yeah.
Dear Simon, David.
Yes.
My sons like the recipes you make, and one of their favourites is the rump steak beef burgers for the barbecue. Yeah, they are belters, aren't they?
No, they're good.
However, whilst I like to make them, I don't like touching raw meat.
Oh,
poor Mr. Linton Price, then. Oh. I've tried a variety of influence to form after mixing the ingredients with a large spoon. However, I can't make satisfactory burger shapes, and they rather end up looking like badly formed cowpats, which rather limits their appeal. Would you know of a tool I can get to extract the mixture and form into burger shapes? I do hope so, because they are far superior to anything one can buy in the shops. Regards, Evelyn Linton Price.
Evelyn! Use your flaming hands! That's what God gave you them for. Get in, get the grain of the meat squashed.
Calm down!
What do you mean you do like touching raw meat?
Actually, in professional kitchens, due to hygiene, what a lot of chefs do is wear surgical gloves.
Oh, well, you do. Or marigolds, anything.
No, not marigolds. You wouldn't have the touch.
You?
No. Not just those latex gloves are fine. Either that, if you want uniformity. Now, I am a great one for uniformity in food. No. I like, if I make meatballs, I like me balls to be the same size. If I make spring rolls, I like them to be identical. Me burgers, I like them balanced. Buy a burger press. There's plenty around, and you've got your spoon. Spoon your meat in, stamp the little babies out.
Well, you still got to squash the meat. That's all I'm saying.
You and I should cook together. Our burgers, just the perfect, you know, you like symmetry in your burgers.
I like it just a burger.
Yeah. You're a messy old devil.
I'm not.
No, you're all right at icing a cake.
Yeah.
Big Mary. Have you ever been electrocuted?
Yeah, oh, aye, loads.
I have too.
It's killer, isn't it?
Oh, why? Well, once when I was a little boy, I electrocuted myself with the Christmas tree lights. You know, they were big old screwing ones.
Yeah, yeah.
I just put my fingers in the socket. Good God. It hit me like a sledgehammer.
A proper knacks, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. Electrocution's not to be done, you know. It's dangerous. I'm surprised there's not more. We've got points everywhere. Take care with electricity.
Yes, it's not good, is it?
No!
I've drilled through one of the ring mains once.
Oh!
Flipping Nora. And, you know, because it was the council house and I was just trying to help my mum out, so I was through this thing, hit the ring main, and I went through the partition wall. It proper hurt that. Had a big indentation of Kingy's backside on me mum's council.
I once had a cat once that, you know, yours Dimplex radiators, electric radiators.
Yeah, yeah.
It was called Ginger Bits, the cat. Well, Ginger was, we became most blew it to bits. It chewed through the cable and killed it. Honestly, stiff as a board, I was gutted.
Sorry.
No, it's true.
Tell us, it was a big ginger Tom.
Well, it was ginger bits. It was tortoiseshell.
Got you. I just thought, like, never mind, anyway.
You're still laughing.
I'm sorry.
I was gutted.
If you've ever burnt the spuds, or used sugar instead of salt, or set your oven on fire, you're safe now. Si and Dave's Sunday Roast Amnesty.
On Planet Rock.
Alistair Hughes, Sunday Roast Help. Hello, lads. Hello, Alistair. How are you going? Right. I have progressed from indoor to outdoor cooking and bought a wood-burning pizza oven.
Nice.
Nice, dude.
Envy.
My wife made excellent pizza dough.
Nice.
Put on the toppings.
She's a keeper.
She is. No, you don't ever dump her. I put it on my new pizza paddle.
Excellent.
Well done. I know what you're going to say now.
Yeah, he didn't flour it.
He didn't flour it, did he? I put it on my new pizza paddle, and I was hoping it would be like shit off a shovel. But sadly, it ended up being on a shovel. How can I stop the dough sticking?
Flour your paddle.
Look, you can use semolina or anything, you know.
That's semolina? Is that like semolina, but Sam?
Semolina.
Geordie semolina, semolina.
Yeah, semolina. Just put some of that on, yeah, you know, because that works really well, because right, then it is like
And you get like that professional look, don't you? Because some of it will stick to it, and it looks like as though you know what you're doing.
And also, the thing is, what's good, because the grains are slightly bigger, when you put it into it, and also, top tip, when your pizza oven, listen, man, it needs to be fired for at least 3 hours to get the temperature up for pizza, because the base as well needs to be as hot as it can be. So what you do, when you put your, because most pizza ovens build their wood to the side, and then that heats the oven. But then what you've got to do is you've got to move the fire into the middle so it heats the base. And just before you put your pizzas in, it's a bit of a faff, but it's great. Just before you put your pizza in, you move your fire back to the sides, stick your pizza on, perfect hot bottom.
Failing that, there's always Dr. Otterkers. Anyway, it's Most Wanted, Kingy. Right. Most Wanted. Just let the listeners tell us how wonderful our recipes are.
Go on then, Dave.
No, you've got the paper in your hand, you buffoon.
Oh, so I have. Anyway, name, Tina Frayne. Hello, Tina, and the subject is Guinness beef. Hi, Si and Dave, thanks for all your brill show on Planet Rock. My hubby and I are loving trying your recipes. Well, thank you very much. That's very kind of you to say. One we can't get right is the Guinness beef from the website. Why not?
All you do is boil it. The longer you boil it, the better it gets.
The beef is always rock hard when we've finished.
Yeah, I know what she's doing.
Yeah, so do I.
She's stewing it. She's not cooking enough.
Yeah. We brown the beef, but I thought I had to brown it all the way through. So it's cooked properly. No, right. Look, Tina, I'll carry on. I thought I had to brown it all the way through, so it's cooked properly. Egypt. I do it in a pan for about 25 minutes. My hubby thinks that may be the problem. Can you help? Yes, we can.
Well, you're miles away, Tina. Miles away.
Follow the flaming recipe!
Just give it a bit of colour. You know what I mean? Like a sun blush. You know, you want, like, you know, a gentle tan. You don't want Barry Manilow.
No. Where does it say in the recipe, cook it for 25 minutes? It doesn't. No.
Brown it and then just put it in the pot. Cook it slowly, slowly for several hours. Till the meat's melting and the Guinness is soaked into it. You are destroying pictures. It's like putting a horse blanket on the Mona Lisa the way you destroy our recipes.
You're crapping on our art. That's what you're doing.
Ah, you're pissing on our chips.
That's not right.
No, Tina. Tina. Respect the beef.
Follow the recipe.
And now it's the man who dies on stage several times a show. Nights with Alice Cooper, only on Planet Rock.
That was Led Zeppelin, Immigrant Song, which is, of course, dedicated to Donald Trump. He just loves those immigrants. Although I will tell my one Trump story. Actually, I've met Trump many, many times, mostly in golf tournaments. I tell you what, I got along very well with him. He is bigger than life. Walks into a room, he is bigger than life. And he's Mr. Personality. He's like Clinton. He's got this big, fat personality. And pretty hard not to like him. You know, I have never met Hillary. I've met her husband, and I really liked him, too. So, you know, in order to be a politician, you have to have a lot of charisma. If charisma was what ran the country, that would be great. Because then I would be president. Couldn't get more charismatic than me. I have a very simple platform to stand on. My platform is this. I can do nothing as well as they can do nothing. It's the apathy policy. Seems to work in Washington. That was Start Me Up by the Stones. Here's some Stones trivia for you. Even though the band released that song in 81 on the Tattoo You album, when did they start recording it? 1978. They recorded it as a reggae rock song for the album Some Girls, but were never happy with how it came out, so they decided to shelve it until they came up with a version in 1981, and they liked it. That happens a lot. We write songs, certain songs, and they're great. The song is really good. Can't wait to put it on the album. And then you realize that the album has taken on a different personality and that song does not fit one bit. And you hold it and you put it in the back burner and you say, okay, next album, that's going on. We did a few of those for Hollywood Vampires. Got a couple of tracks that we cut that did not fit this album. But if we were going to do another album with new stuff on it, stuff that we do, then it's definitely going on because it's too good of. In fact, we might wrap the whole album around that one song. That was Pink Floyd with Welcome to the Machine. That was one of the many songs that the band wrote about their hate for the music industry. Strangely enough, the band made so much money over the years, it's hard to imagine they have so much anger for the industry. You know, I don't get that. Of course you're a product. Of course what you put out is going to be packaged. And yet the artists sit around going, oh, I hate the way that we're packaged, and I hate the way that we're, you know, And we're just another corporation. That's up to you. If you want to be just another corporation, go ahead. I think that your job is to do art. Your job is to write great songs, perform great, and forget what the record company does with it. So many artists sit around complaining about being successful. It drives me nuts. Oh, I don't like selling out. If you've ever made a record, what was the idea behind that record? Unless you've printed with your own money 1 million records and gave them away, then you sold out. If you ever sold a record, you sold out. Yeah, but. You're in the business, the rock and roll business. Emphasis there on business. Be an artist, but understand that you are a product. Now, be true to your product, that's all. I'm tired of reprimanding you people.
Alice Cooper on Planet Rock.
It's the moment you've been waiting for all day. My fun and freaky facts. Here we go. Mars has no magnetic field, indicating that it does not have a molten metal core like Earth does. So every time Earth passes Mars, it goes, what's the matter? Don't have a molten metal core. However, there is evidence that Mars once had a magnetic field and that the field experienced reversals, much like Earth's magnetic field, which reverses every few thousand years. You have to keep reversing them just so they don't wear out. Then you turn them inside out and wash them, dry them, and get them back out there. A bear's normal heartbeat is 40 beats per minute. A hibernating bear's heart drops to 8
beats per minute because it needs to just slow down almost to a point of just a cryogenic kind of thing. And then when it wakes up, it attacks Leo DiCaprio and everything's okay. In the U.S. alone, 18 billion diapers are thrown out a year. 18 billion. That's a mountain of diapers. Where do they go? I ask you. Someplace there are 18 billion diapers times, let me see, when did actual disposable diapers start? In the 70s? You do the math of how many diapers that is. It's probably the size of Mount Everest, full of poop. At one point in history, women who complained of menstrual cramps were sent to psychiatrists because menstrual cramps were seen as a rejection of one's femininity. So didn't they figure out after a while that every single woman every month rejected their femininity in the world? Everyone. You know, people were pretty stupid back in those days. I mean, a lot of things.
It's Nights with Alice, only on Planet Rock.
Well, it's time to become just a little bit dumber with my fun and freaky facts. Here we go. The founder of Domino's Pizza met his wife on his first pizza delivery as a teenager. First time out. Goes out.
Hi, my name is Dominic. Can I get a $2 tip, please? Your pizza's hot.
And he meets the girl of his dreams and he marries her. First time out. What's the chances of that? Unbelievable. The USA is the most armed nation in the world with 89 guns per 100 people. Feels safer now. No, wait a minute. I know a lot of people that shouldn't have guns. A pine tree planted in 2004 in memory of George Harrison had to be removed after it became infested by beetles. Ironic or what? Twilight Zone? Hell yeah. And finally tonight, Nikola Tesla turned down the Nobel Peace Prize because he knew that there was going to be a band named after him, and he wanted a Grammy. That was AC/DC for Those About to Rock. Apparently, back in 1981, the Rolling Stones offered the guys $1 million to open for one of their shows on the North American tour, but AC/DC turned them down to finish recording for Those About to Rock. That's not a good business move. First of all, you never say no to the Rolling Stones, do you? I just don't. It's like saying no to the King of England, if there was a King of England. I bought my twin grandsons a couple of shirts that said, "For those about to talk, we salute you."
This is the Planet Rock Podcast with Skytalk. Choose from a range of Skytalk packs, which include free calls to UK mobiles.
Planet Rock's Brian Johnson.
And the producers.
Tonight, we delve into the world of a man who has helped define the sound of modern rock. Bob Rock not only has one of the greatest names for a rock producer, but has contributed to some of the landmark albums of the last couple of decades. Long players from Metallica, Motley Crue, Bon Jovi, and Aerosmith all have his DNA mixed in as a producer, engineer, and even as a musician. So let's get to it, ladies and gentlemen. Bob Rock on Planet Rock. Fits well.
Now, an interesting thing about The Who is really Keith Moon. As I came to figure out about how they made records, etc., is Pete Townsend was the rhythm, and the drummer Keith Moon played to Townsend. Now, they're very similar to actually how Metallica work. And what I discovered in working with Metallica is James is the rhythm, and Lars is drumming, very unique style, you know, an amazing drummer. But it took me a while, and I made the connection that Lars actually plays to James. I did this great thing. S&M, the album with San Francisco Symphony, and Michael Kamen, a brilliant arranger, did the arrangement. And it was interesting because Michael Kamen was conducting from basically Lars Ulrich. But Lars was actually kind of, James was the real conductor. He was laying down the rhythm and Lars was playing to him and Michael Kamen was conducting off of Lars. So there was actually a built-in delay that I had to fix. So that's a bit of a fix-up job on something. But that I had to line everything up. But that exposed basically the secret to what is great about The Who and also what is fantastic about Metallica. Now, the next song, I think, getting to know Lars and James, especially James, they were Queen fans. And you can hear so much of what they do, not necessarily directly, but I bought Queen 2 after buying the first Queen album. This made me want to know, I had to know what the hell was going on with this track. I was a big Queen fan, yeah, but Ogre Battle in particular kind of really is kind of very Metallica-like. It's a big riff and there's lots of changes, tempo changes, but the vocals and the guitar work and the backwards guitar and the intro, everything about the song was just like, I don't know what this is, but I got to know how to do this. And that really set me on my course for what I ended up doing in making rock records.
You know, I remember in the early 90s when I was in the studio at Little Mountain Studios, which literally was Bob Rock's domain, and everybody went to the mountain because Bob Rock was there. And there he was walking through the studio with the boys out of Aerosmith and showing them around with an arm around, gentle, lovely, just a wonderful fella. And that was just before they did Pump. And that's what he was doing, getting them relaxed. They hadn't been together for a while. That's the kind of man Bob Rock was. That's what I remember. Genius.
This is The Producers with Brian Johnson. Planet Rock.
Tonight, the gentleman in question may be a man who you've never heard of, but you have definitely heard his work. Foo Fighters, Marilyn Manson, and Evanescence have all entrusted him with their most precious commodities, even earning a somewhat sweet nickname from Russia's Neil Peart. Boosh, as in bada bada boosh. You know, like when you're trying to explain how to play the drums. Anyway, without further ado, please welcome Mr. Nick Raskolnitz, our producer du jour.
One by one, hidden up my sleeve.
So that was All My Life by the Foo Fighters, and geez, that's one of my favorite songs I've probably ever done. I think that song really just encapsulates, you know, energy of Dave Grohl and Taylor and myself and, you know, us hanging out in his house in Virginia and making a record, and we really had a great time doing it. I really think it's one of Dave's, you know, best rock songs, and you know, that was a song that pretty much changed everything for me, and my career really took off after that. We won a Grammy, and it was a number one single, and the record sold a couple million copies, and I've kind of been going strong ever since then. It was really a big deal. I didn't really realize it so much at the time, but as the years went on, I really realized how important that song was to my career and to rock music. You know, every time it comes on the radio today, it just makes you want to pound your fist in the air, which I think is a great thing about a song when that can still do that after all these years. This next song I want to talk about is by a band called Stone Sour. It's called 30-30-150, and Corey Taylor on the vocals, you know, who also sings for Slipknot. It's such a powerful performance and really shows the great dichotomy of his super heavy, you know, growly heavy voice into his beautiful singing voice in the chorus. And we did that back in 2005 in Los Angeles, and, you know, we all became really good friends, and we still are now. That song also really cool little thing about that is Shannon Larkin plays the drums on that song. And the drum track, if you really listen to it and zone in on it, is just over the top. And again, it's one of my favorite songs I've ever done.
Now, if you've been enjoying Iron Maiden's Book of Souls album, or perhaps were a fan of Black Country Communion, or maybe just Joe Bonamassa on his own, then you would have heard of Kevin's work. He's mixed and engineered on many albums from Rush, Billy Squire, and the Black Crowes. But tonight we focus on the producering of the man affectionately known as the Caveman.
Now, I didn't actually produce Led Zeppelin, although I did do an inordinate amount of work on it. When I got to work with Jimmy Page and a room full of tapes, it was like, look at the trove of treasures that you have here. And once I started going through them all, it was an immense amount of work. And this song was particularly interesting because I did a mix of it. And Jimmy came in and went, oh, that sounds fantastic. And then I drove home to my place and I was listening to it and I thought, oh, I can do it better. And I came in the next morning and I started remixing it. And Jimmy came in and he said, what are you doing? And I said, oh, I just thought I'd give this mix a little tweak. I thought I could get it a little bit better. And he was like, no, it sounds fine. Move along. So I thought that was pretty funny. So this was my first mix of Since I've Been Loving You.
Thousands of nights behind the mic with Def Leppard. Now he's behind our mic.
Joe Elliott on Planet Rock.
As I've no doubt told you dozens of times in the past, Steve Clark demanded if we don't start playing gigs, he was going to leave the band. So we rapidly arranged a gig at a place called Westfield School in Sheffield, where we got paid the paltry amount of £5 straight out of a teacher's pocket. But it was the beginning of a very long career. Now, we've been based in New York for the last few days before we got here, and it was a crazy time, as you can imagine New York always is. We were staying at the Trump Tower, so you can imagine what was going on inside and outside of that incredible building. But one of the things that I did was interview Ian Hunter for a TV special that's coming out in October. So I had to play the role of Graham Norton, Walter Cronkite, David Frost. It was kind of bizarre, but it was fun to do. And I have been given permission to play this song. I think it's actually already available from a box set that's coming out in September called Stranded in Reality. This is an outtake from the 2001 album Rant, and it is fantastic. This is called A Little Rock and Roll. I'm ready to roll. The second ever weekend star.
What's up? This is Ben.
This is John Fred from Blackstone Cherry.
And we are pumped to announce that we are going to be headlining Planet Rockstock December the 4th, Treco Bay, South Wales. It's going to be awesome.
It's going to be amazing. We're looking forward to seeing all you guys. It's going to be the climax of the weekend. We just want to thank Paul and all the team at Planet Rock for all the support over the past 10 years. You guys are awesome.
We love you. We love you. We love you. So if you're not booked already,
if you don't have something really crazy and weird already to do,
yes, go to planetrock.com/rockstock. And us, Blackstone Cherry, shall see you there. December the 4th, Treco Bay, South Wales.
In a world where less is more, Planet Rock presents the shortest show on radio with Wyatt and Darren.
So last week, the World Wife Carrying Championships happened in Finland. Can you imagine having your wife on your back? You have to carry them with, so her head's below your backside and her arms around your waist.
I'm sure she'd love that, but my wife is just like a tiny little woman. So that the problem doesn't lie with her. It lies with my weakness. I could do it, though. We could do it. She weighs like nothing.
Okay.
So she's that I could do that.
The prize wouldn't be much because the prize is your wife's weight in beer. So that'd be like a thimble.
Well, and
it?
Considering I'm not much of a drinker, it's wasted on me. It doesn't sound like it's worth the effort.
What else could we have there? What other weird things?
Donuts. Krispy Kreme donuts. Job done.
I like your idea for It's like a take on the World Wife Carrying Championships meets the Highland Games in Scotland, where they're tossing.
What, roll your wife down the hill?
That would be one. They do the cable tossing in the Highlands.
What? I like this. This is good.
You don't have to throw your wife.
I'm sure this is not. I'm sure that someone's going to throw big words like misogyny at us, but, no, but it's still funny.
Hang on. I didn't mean throw your
wife. I did. Not just my wife. I mean anybody throwing their own wife. It could work the other way, too.
Throw your husband.
Sure, if you can.
What, off a cliff?
Well, tell you what, there are days.
Oh, dear. We could invent our own version of the Highland Games.
We'd have to have a hardy young lass who was up for that. You're gonna what now?
The Anglo-Canadian Games coming soon to a field or cliff near you. I've just managed to break the studio. I've broken the chair. I've nearly smashed the Gibson Les Paul up. What a mess. What an absolute disgrace I am to society. You have to sit at an angle.
No wonder I keep having to retune it.
Oh, yeah, I've broken the Gibson. That's smashed on the floor. There's a chair wheel rolled across the other. I don't know how I've done it. I'm special.
Yeah.
It's the heat. I'm blaming the heat.
Yeah, well, fix that chair before I have to sit in it.
Okay.
The heat, man. I'll tell you what. Feeling fuggy.
Do you know, it gets me how men seem to have, I am generalising it, men seem to have no fashion sense where heat's concerned. I mean, I'm wearing pyjama shorts, you're dressed like you're on the run again.
Yeah, you're onto something there, but yeah. I mean, I don't know, I don't even have anything to say about that, I know nothing about fashion.
Well, I'd like to think I know about it, I just don't exercise my right to have some. I mean, there's a guy next door, one of the engineers next door, he's come in sandals and really bad shorts. He looks like he visits the same beach as you visit in Dorset.
Yeah, but how do you... That's the thing. That's what you do.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, ladies look classy and they wear the flowery skirts. They might wear some nice shoes and stuff. And they look nice. We just look like we haven't got a clue. We played lucky.
You should wear a flowery dress and some nice shoes, too.
I was going to wear a cotton thong, but I don't know how well that would go down. So I survived the heat last night. I thought about wearing as few clothes as possible today by just, you know, covering myself in syrup and throwing white sugar at myself. And I'd come like as a glazed donut or something like that. But that would get me into trouble with HR, I think.
I don't know, man. I don't see much difference between that and what you're wearing anyway.
I'm wearing less clothes than yesterday. I really do look like my pajamas.
I know. For anybody who's not here, and I imagine that's all of the Planet Rock listeners,
yeah,
the vest is back.
The vest. Even Alice Cooper has something to say about the vest.
Does he?
He did. He says, you know summer's here when I'm wearing a vest.
Right. Yeah, you can tell what season it is by which vest he's wearing, yes.
Says you just walked in, and I see you put your phone charger on the desk, and you put your name on it. What are we, at school?
Well, you might as well. I mean, but the thing is, you laugh. And yes, I put my initials on lots of things.
I've seen the staple. See, I remember when we were in the old building, you used to put a Sharpie on the staple and everyone used to keep taking it.
Oh, those were the good old days. Still Darren Stapler.
Yeah, but the irony of it was...
Watch him turn a funny colour.
Yeah, the irony of it was, you used to claim it. It was company property. It wasn't even yours. So you were defacing company property by putting Sharpie initials all over it.
Well, there was a buyout in the middle of that, so technically, right. I kind of...
That was part of the settlement, was it?
I took ownership of that stapler.
Right. That was the settlement from the last marriage, was it? You got the stapler.
Yeah, exactly. Did you ever see Office Space?
Yes, I have seen that,
so
yeah.
So you know, yeah. Don't mess with the guy who covets his stapler.
So is there anything else you'd like to put your initials on?
No, I've got my initials on just about everything I own.
Okay.
I've got some tattoos as well.
So that's it, right. Don't bend over.
Well, that's all for the first episode of the Planet Rock podcast with Sky Talk. We hope you've enjoyed the nuggets of musical knowledge and rock and roll stories from Alice Cooper, the Hairy Bikers, Joe Elliott, plus Brian Johnson and his producers, and of course, Wyatt and Darren for their hot weather tips. We'll be back next week with more highlights and maybe some lowlights, so hopefully catch you then. Thanks for listening. See ya.
All the best bits of Planet Rock in our weekly podcast with Sky Talk. Love to rub it on for hours? Search Sky Talk now to find a pack to suit you.